Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Reading today is from Jonah chapter 2. You can find these in your pew Bible, the text on page 845. Let us pray. Living God, help us to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience through Christ our Lord. Amen. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your bellows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountain. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Well, as prophets go, Jonah is a rather embarrassing one. He gets it wrong almost every time, but I think not this time. I find this moment with Jonah to be inspiring and challenging. He is in the worst moment for him, the worst circumstance for him, and yet he prays a prayer of thanksgiving. Does that surprise you? There's something about being in the belly of the fish that, as he sees his life ebbing away, that focuses him and he discovers gratitude. I can't explain it, but I've experienced it. I've seen it. Sometimes in the midst of crisis, we learn who we really are, or maybe we learn who we want to be. And sometimes in the midst of crisis, we get very clear about who God is. Captain Dmitry Kolesnikov, he was a crewman on the Russian submarine, the Kursk. And just about 20 years ago, that submarine had an accidental explosion which killed almost immediately the 118 crewmen on board, but 23 of them survived for a while. And from the belly of the sub and the bottom of the barren sea, Kolesnikov wrote notes to his wife. He wrote, "None of us can get to the surface now. This will be it for all of us." Evidently, the emergency lighting had gone out, leaving them in unimaginable darkness. And he said, "I am writing blindly now, my love." Writing in the dark, blind. But in another sense, he was writing because he saw things very clearly. He understood in that crisis that he was not a captain, he was not a crewman, he was a husband and a father and a brother. He understood that we are defined by who we love and who loves us. And so in that moment, the only thing to do was to write to her what she already knew, which is, "I need you to know I loved you to the end." Last week, we said the Word of God came to Jonah, and when the Word of God comes to us, it doesn't come just as information, it comes as calling. That's what we said last week, that is true. But it also comes as a claiming word. It is like baptism. In baptism, we celebrate something. We celebrate that we belong to God, that we are claimed by God. And we Presbyterians will baptize infants. They don't know what we have done. This was not a religious experience for them. They haven't come to receive baptism because of their faith. They haven't received baptism because of, well, but not because of anything in them. They receive baptism because of the love of God in God's heart. The love of God that claims them as God's own children. Jonah knew. He knew that the Word of God is a claiming word. And he ran from it. It's interesting how the writer describes it. He goes down to Joppa, then he goes down to the ship, then he goes down in the hole of the ship, and then he goes down below the ship into the sea where a great fish who dines on krill and disobedient prophets swallows him up. And from the belly of this fish, he prays. Not a prayer of lament, not a prayer of complaint, not why me. He prays a prayer of thanksgiving. Does that surprise you? Now look, I don't know who wrote Jonah, but if I had written Jonah, I think I would have put this prayer in a different place. I think I would have put Jonah's thanksgiving later, after things had worked out okay. I don't know that I would have put it in his mouth in the belly of the fish. I think I would have waited till things got a little better, after things improved. Then gratitude, well, it comes easy. You know, one of my favorite places in the world is Quetico, Canada. It's just over the line from Minnesota. It is a national park that is a Canadian national park that is miles and miles of lakes. There are no cottages, there are no motorboats. It's just canoes and campsites, and I love going there, unplug. This summer, I got to go, and this time I went alone with my son. Just the two of us. He's 24 now, and so when we came to a portage, he carried the heavy stuff. I think I'll take him again. It was a great trip. We ate fish that we had caught an hour before. We watched bald eagles feed. We built campfires and talked late into the night. On our last night camping, we sat by the fire and we looked up at the night sky, and hanging low in the horizon, we could see Mars. It was as close to us as it's been in years. We could see Mars and Saturn and Jupiter and Venus, all four hanging in the night sky. And that was almost as cool as the conversation we had. And in the conversation we had that night, I realized I'm in a new place in my life. I'm still that guy's father. I am always going to be his father, and he is always going to be my son. But in a strange and wonderful way, I'm really not his parent anymore. Money's still involved, but I'm really not his parent anymore. And I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but it feels really right, and the gratitude is inescapable. When life is good, gratitude comes easily. But what Jonah instructs, and what I find so inspiring, is he prays as his life is ebbing away, in his own words. He prays from the belly of the fish. He says he prays from the belly of Sheol. Sheol is the place of the dead in Hebrew vocabulary. It's not hell. There's no judgment involved. It's just dead. And from the belly of Sheol, he prays with a voice of thanksgiving. Now, to me, this feels like Thanksgiving ahead of schedule. He should wait until things seem better, until circumstances of life are more positive. And yet, as strange as it seems, he is grateful in the midst of this crisis. Because I think what has happened is he has realized who he is or who he wants to be. And I think he understands who God is very clearly. And God is one who has claimed him. And there is no fish or high water that can change that. This is the point. We are all Jonah. So you're going to find yourself in the belly of the fish sometime. You do. Can't sleep at night. Struggle through. You're going to find yourself in the midst of crisis. You will. And when the crisis comes, Jonah teaches us you don't want to waste a crisis. Because in a crisis, it's not automatic. It's not automatic, but it can happen. We can get clear about who we are, or more clear about who we want to be. And we can get clear about who God is, as one who claims us and will never let us go. If I understand the text, this is the reason for Jonah's gratitude. It's not his circumstances. For goodness sakes, he's in the belly of a fish. Now, I don't know what else is in the belly of a fish, but it's not great. It's not his circumstances, and he thinks he's dying. It's his connection. He knows that there's nothing that can disconnect him from the God who has claimed him. So with a voice of thanksgiving, he says, "I will sacrifice to you." Now, you may find this to be a little much from Jonah. I mean, in chapter 1, Jonah wants nothing to do with God. And as soon as he gets back out of the fish, he's going to be called again. This time, he's going to go to Nineveh. But he is the most passionless prophet you have ever seen. He preaches the shortest sermon in the history of preaching. And then the whole town comes singing, "Just as I Am." And when they do, he's mad about it. So this Thanksgiving doesn't last very long. And because of that, Dr. Phyllis Tribble, she says that it's not really genuine, that this is counterfeit piety, she says. She may be right. She's a smarter reader of these texts than I am. She may be right, but, you know, I'm the preacher today, so I'm reading it the way I read it. And I think she might be being a little harsh on Jonah, because here's something that's true about gratitude. There's a gratitude that's inescapable. It comes when things go well and we're grateful. But there is a spiritual gratitude that is disconnected from circumstances, and it comes from knowing that we belong. And that gratitude is not something we just experience. It's something we choose. There is a discipline to gratitude. Gratitude is a spiritual discipline. And that's why it's not something we can hold on to all the time. It's something we have to work at, something that we endeavor toward. So I think that's what Jonah is teaching us today, and he's aided in it by the crisis. I remember reading about a guy named Martin Toler Jr. I don't know him at all, but he was a miner in West Virginia, and he was in the Sago mine. You may remember over a decade ago, there was an explosion in the Sago mine, and Martin Toler Jr., along with other miners, were trapped inside. And from the belly of the mine, he did what we do. He wrote notes. And he wrote to his wife. He said, "Tell all, I'll see you on the other side." "It wasn't bad, darling. I just went to sleep. But before I do, I need you to know one more time that I love you." I can't explain it, but I've seen it. Sometimes when you're in the belly of it all, sometimes when you're at the bottom, it's clarifying. And we get clear about who we are or who we want to be. And sometimes we get clear that no matter what, God loves and is not going to let go. I think that's what Jonah knows in his marrow, that he belongs to God, to a surprisingly gracious God who will refuse to let him go. And so he says, "With a voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice for you." So this biblical moment reminds me of a woman named Sophie. So 20 years ago, I was serving the church in Jacksonville, Florida, and a couple of van loads of us, some youth and adults, Carol and I, we went from Jacksonville, we drove to Louisville, Kentucky, because prior, almost a year earlier, Louisville and the surrounding areas had experienced flooding like the Carolinas are experiencing now. And there were folks who were flooded out, and we went to help, and I spent the week at Sophie's home, and when I walked into her small, modest home, it took my breath away because most of her furniture was pushed to the center of the room. There were some bed sheets over furniture to protect it. But if you leaned over, you could look from one end of her home to the other, unobstructed. Because another group had come in and had removed all of the damaged sheetrock. That was a blessing. But none of it had been replaced. And this was 10 months after the flood. So I spent the week with Sophie putting up wallboard and mudding it. And if you had seen the job that I did with the sheetrock mud, you would know why I'm a preacher. And the time ran out, and I remember the last morning we stood in Sophie's front yard. The job wasn't finished, but we had to go back to Florida. And we stood in front yard, and we held hands, and we prayed, and I prayed. I don't remember what I prayed. Some others prayed, and then Sophie prayed. And I will never forget her prayer. She said, "God, you have been too good to me. You have not forgotten me in my hour of need. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." This from a woman whose house was still in disrepair, and furniture was pushed to the middle of the room 10 months after the fact. And all she can proclaim is gratitude. And I don't think it came because she experienced it. I think it was discipline I think it was remembering that nothing in life or death can separate us from the love of God. So here's what I want you to reflect on this week. Our lives are a mix. They just are. There's good, and there's hard. Every life I know is a mixture of plenty and want, joy and sorrow, sickness and health. I pray that the balance is strong on the good side for you, but it'll be a mix. When the hard time comes, remember Jonah. And maybe, if you do, maybe the circumstances that have gone wrong won't shape your faith. Maybe your faith will shape how you navigate the circumstances. For the Word of God comes to you, to me, and these little ones that we baptize. And it is a claiming word that promises, you will always be my child. I will always be your God. You need not fear, for I will never let you go. Trust that, and even when it's hard, you might be surprised to discover some gratitude. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.